it's a Boston Crab and so much more. Wow.
Rocking impact.
Great reversal. Great reversal again. Two, no. Just like that, Johnny Impact rolls up Garza Jr. and gets to three.
Hello and welcome, folks, to this edition of Let Me Talk to You. This is for the October 12th edition of Impact Wrestling. I am your host and your only host this week, Josh Perry. Unfortunately, CEO Hayes has had to bow out this week due to some other promotions trying to nab my good old CEO Hayes. Unfortunately, so it's just me this week. Hopefully that doesn't make you turn this off within the first minute of the podcast. If it does, I bid the farewell, I guess. But as it stands, like I said, I am the lone guy behind the podcast here, Josh Perry. If you don't know me, I edit a lot of the shows here on the WWPN and host every week, or yeah, that's a bit of a stretch at this point. Whenever myself and Hayes actually decide to review an episode of Impact, we do so. However, this week, in the spirit of trying to keep it as a weekly thing going into Bound for Glory, it is just myself. So I will be recapping this week's Bound for Glory, sharing some of my thoughts on it. So hope you stick around for that. I'm just going to dip in to some quick GFW news. And yes, I am still getting used to calling it. No, it's not Look at that. I was just saying how I was just getting used to calling it GFW when that's the completely wrong way to go about it. As you can tell, I'm still getting used to calling it Impact because I just had a hell of a Freudian slip right there by calling it its old company. But can you blame me? They've changed hands about three times in the past 3 months. But anyway, just some quick news before we go into the episode. Since we last talked to you guys, for starters, Moose is now the IPW World Champion. IPW, based out of the UK, one of the most up-and-coming promotions in the world right now, and the British wrestling scene. Anybody can that definitely lives in the United Kingdom can attest, growing at exponential numbers, and to have Moose being the face of one of those companies that's driving forward such crazy expansion is pretty cool. So Moose, IPW champion over in Britain, in case you didn't know, go check that out. Haven't seen the match associated with it, only knowing the news, the fact that Moose is now IPW champion. Only other thing I want to get into right now is the fact that Bound for Glory, I can't say we will because there is no we right now, no CEO Hayes, unless I start talking like Dobby. There's more than one of me. There is a we. Never mind, that's weird. I will talk about this later on in the episode, but Bound for Glory has quote-unquote sold out. Now, that was announced prior to this week's episode, which, as we will recap over the course of this show, the show is still selling tickets, and that is because the arena that they are in is a 2,000-seat arena. However, they had allotted 500 seats for the event. They have sold out of those 500 seats, and presumably because they were still advertising tickets to be sold on this edition of Impact, they will be expanding beyond those 500 seats if they do sell more. So, look, a fantastic news for this company. You can look at this in two ways. One, you can look at it from the point of view that this company used to sell out, not sell out maybe necessarily, but sell multi-thousand tickets in various different locations across the country, and now they are reduced to a lowly goal of 500. That's one way you can look at it if you haven't watched this company since the early 2010s. However, if you've watched them at all lately, you would understand that this company setting realistic goals is something that should be admired. GFW, again, I did it again. Impact, as a whole, has continuously set bars, even in the early 2010s, that they never could have achieved. It's nice to see the company not only setting reasonable goals, but ultimately surpassing those reasonable goals. And I'm excited. That's a really good sign. The fact that they were planning on the show to just be a 500-seater, from a production standpoint, that means that they were really sound checking and doing things like that to exacerbate the effect of it being a 500-seater. Really, I hope that they were planning on, or I hope they still are planning on, capturing all the noise that can erupt in a small venue with a really jammed, packed room. I think that it could. All signs point to this being a really well-produced, hot crowd at Bound for Glory, and hopefully they continue to sell more tickets to up the ante on the noise and the decibel levels. All roads leading to Bound for Glory, like we saw last week or 2 weeks ago with Victory Road, and the roads seem to be well-paved. I will say that because a lot of signs pointing to a good show here at Bound for Glory. We'll go over a lot of what's going into that show. Again, I say we will. I got habits to break here, folks. It's just me here. I will go over a number of different programs that we have going into Bound for Glory this week on this edition of Let Me Talk to You. So without further ado, let me just reference our name of our show here. Let me, myself, and I talk to you about this week of Impact.
Eli Drake.
Hasta la muerte y después.
I'm Allie.
Folks, welcome to Let Me Talk to You.
The best guy here, the best guy there, the best guy anywhere.
On the Wrestling World Podcast Network.
What I'm telling you.
Listen, slap ass.
Let me talk to you.
Like I said, recapping this week's episode of Impact, October 12th, 2017. Opening up the show with a recap of last week's show. Just a great way to hook the audience in, you know, especially if they've watched last week's. Here's more things that you watched already. But we transitioned right from that into an opening package from Noah. It goes right into this package, into Japan, with Eddie acknowledging the GHC title for once, which is nice to see. Putting over the belt, putting over the fact that he is the first ever Gaijin to win the belt, which is nice. That's good to see them actually referencing the GHC belt and his status as world champion, something that will be referenced more on later in the episode. We cut from there into a LAX promo where they talk about a match that they will be announcing with OVE. Diamante comes out. She's holding the Cuban flag backwards on the hard cam. Well done there. Conan's, he begins with his classic period blue pill blah 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 opener, which is still just so try-hard. It's very lame, and it's been going on for many months right now. So, Conan, if you're listening, please come up with a different intro. They call OVE, or Conan calls OVE some tweakers, which they fucking are. I never had seen OVE as such. However, it's very fitting. They definitely look like a couple of tweakers from the Ohio Valley region, which, you know, it doesn't help that they're from, that they claim, and they support, they publicize the fact that they are from Ohio. This tweakers comment kind of really hams it home. Sorry for any Ohio listeners. I always shit on the state. It's not that bad. I'm sorry about that. Like I said, OVE eventually does come out to their awful piped-in cheers because nobody gives a fuck about this team in the Impact Zone. They're still wearing their weird masks, and then Conan asks them to participate in a 51-50 street fight, and there's just an awful promo by the brown-haired Chris brother, who is just buried by Conan. Diamante fucks up similarly brown-haired Chris brother on the mic, and then eventually with a punch, it turns into a brawl. LAX hits a running boot, followed by a draping cutter off the top rope, which looked really cool, to one of the OVE Christs, and then another gets tossed over the top rope into a back bump onto the table. So the champs looking real strong here. OVE just getting obliterated both on the mic and in the ring, forever proving the fact that they are really not ready to be champs at this point. And this is LAX's show, and this is their belts. LAX continuing to be one of the highlights of the show. After this, Matthews says up next that the Impact, we will get a glimpse of Impact stars invading Pro Wrestling Noah. All right, okay. Which JB then backs up after the advertisement break. So we have a Impact invasion of Noah. They cannot help themselves when it comes to that word. You've got to throw around invasion everywhere. We cut to the Noah segment with a press conference surrounding Eddie Edwards. He puts over the belt, what it means to him, and he puts over Mara Fuji. Again, very similar to the promo to start off the episode. We have lots of Japanese spoken throughout this promo that is never translated and never given a closed captioning, which is great. Thanks for that. We followed up with a Eli Drake promo, again, in a seemingly a different press conference. So Eddie Edwards is no longer present. His promo is fantastic, as always. And then we cut to Scott D'Amore pointing out that Impact Wrestling currently has two world, or maybe global, if we're still going with that, champs in its promotion, acknowledging the fact that they have another world champion in Eddie Edwards holding the Noah belt, and we have Eli Drake holding the Impact belt, and we'll reference a third champion eventually later on in the episode. So D'Amore claiming two world champions in this company later on in the episode. They talk about how there's a third. Something that should be hammered home more, in my opinion. This company has a lot of like world-renowned stars. I mean, these are guys that are you can go as far as to sort of put these guys over in storyline. You can only go so far, though. But these guys have legitimate belts from legitimate companies around the world. Companies that are arguably two companies more legitimate right now than Impact or whatever name they want to give themselves right now. And it's something that they need to sell more, in my opinion. They have three world champions in this company. It's nice to see that actually acknowledged. We have another American Top Team versus Moose promo. It includes a bit about Lashley and Moose being in a gauntlet match at Triple Mania, so we get some clips of that gauntlet match, with Lashley saying backstage that he was expecting to be in a more important match, expecting, quote, a world championship match. Yeah, I'm sure that AAA was ready to throw Bobby Lashley into a fucking world championship match. Sure, Bobo. In that gauntlet match, Moose eliminates Lashley, which leads to Lashley pulling Moose out of the match itself, and then they have a classic little arena brawl. The Triple Mania match, this experience of him getting knocked out by Moose, has, according to Bobo, caused him to... It has proved to him that pro wrestling is not for him. And after that, we just get another recap of Moose, a very silly man, going into ATT and getting his ass kicked. So, some more from this ATT versus Moose storyline, the last of which we definitely have not seen over the course of this episode. Throaty voice promo guy talks about Bound for Glory, asking, quote, "Are you Bound for Glory?" to the viewer, to which I say, as a viewer, I don't know if he's asking if I personally am Bound for Glory. I don't think in an existential or a career fashion that I'm at all Bound for Glory. So in that respect, definitely not. And in the respect of buying a ticket for Bound for Glory, am I bound to be seeing Bound for Glory? No. It's in Canada. So, I'm definitely not Bound for Glory this year. It's a disappointing fact I have to grapple with every week. It does mention the tickets are just at $15, which is pretty damn good. I mean, the fact that they have sold the 500 tickets and they're going to be adding more, the $15, that's pretty damn good. We've got another fucking promo for the main event. We're not that far into this episode, and we've got another fucking promo with it's a solid promo package putting over both guys in the main event, Garza Jr. and Johnny Impact, but it's just another fucking promo. We cut to Borash and Matthews. They're at an announce desk. This was definitely a post-tape, it seemed like. There's some terrible crowd noise in the background. This leads into Rosemary rocking her half makeup, which is such a babyface move, versus Hannah Harper. Rosemary, she's over in the Universal Studios. She points to her neck for some reason to start off the match. She counters a punch, hits Hannah a few times. Irish whips her into a turnbuckle, but Hannah counters with an elbow. Looking to take advantage of her incredible offensive maneuver, Hannah runs forward in what's ultimately just an offensive maneuver. Rosemary kicks her, picks her up, red wedding, 1-2-3, this is over in just about a minute. Just a squash match for Rosemary, it makes her look really good, and Hannah Harper with a hell of a performance here on Impact. Rosemary picks up the mic right afterwards. She's definitely over as fuck. She implores Taya Valkyrie to dance with her, which Taya obliges, looking awesome in her entrance with her crown and everything. Definitely not intimidated by the fake boos that go around the stadium. Fake boos. Fake boos. That sounds like fake news. Hey, check it out. So after that, Matthews calls Taya versus Rosemary, quote, Game of Thrones, Star Wars-esque, which I don't even think he realizes that the champion of his fucking company isn't in this match, so maybe don't compare it to Game of Thrones and Star Wars when it isn't even the most important women's match on the card. I don't know. Maybe. Taya hits Rosemary with some red mist in a sort of swerve. She hits the Road to Valhalla, which is a fucking awesome name for a finisher, and that is that. We get another recap of Moose going to ATT, and then Taryn Terrell continuing with some knockouts action, replete with her shit mid-2000s preteen girl metal music. She comes to the ring, she heals it up with the crowd, telling them not to boo her. She then goes after Gail Kim, saying that her and her Food Network husband will get a divorce. Gail comes out, says that she just goes out there and slap Taryn. Says Karma actually will slap Taryn in the face. I don't know if that's a reference to Congo Kong, but then she does slap Taryn in the face. They have a little scuffle, and Gail throws out Taryn standing tall. So that's that. Another, we got our knockouts segments in there for the night. Another Bound for Glory promo, this time featuring Alberto Del Patron, who is teased with the question, what will he do? Yeah, great promo leading into this re-debut of this man who has gotten into numerous legal troubles. What will he do? Who knows what he'll do? God knows if he'll even show up. So we're positioning Patron as a sort of tweener, if you even care, but I don't give a flying fuck about seeing this guy at Bound for Glory. We then lead to a backstage interview. Mackenzie Mitchell joined by Sienna, Caleb Conley, and Tejano. Of course, the always insufferable KM lurking in the background. Sienna snatches the mic from Mackenzie, calling her McKenna. What a great heel move. She tells Tejano and Conley to stay out of her way. Pretty badass, if you ask me. Sienna continuing to assert her, you know, very much in the sort of China vein. She's crossing over into the men's division, as we will see with the eventual match. She's not afraid to get into the faces of the men, something that you don't see on WWE television, which doesn't automatically make it into a cool thing. The fact that it doesn't happen on WWE and it happens somewhere else, that doesn't automatically make it cool. But in this instance, Sienna really sells it, makes it really awesome. Sienna, really a good champion. Tejano, I guess would be his sister, but Tejano, apparently unfazed by Sienna. He says in Spanish and in English that he's only here to say that Triple A is the greatest company in the world, and that he is the only cowboy. Cool. Conley is then there to show him how we do it in North Carolina. And then he ends the promo with an absolutely amazing ending. I'm just going to play the sound for you. Enjoy this amazing promo from Conley.
I'm in this match now. Trevor has important things to do. Trevor is trained. He's getting ready. He's shining up that title. Tonight, Caleb Conley's in the ring and showing him how we do it back in North Carolina. Trevor, I'm doing this for you, buddy. We finished here?
God, fucking are we finished here? Tell me that. Are we finished with this Caleb Conley business? This guy needs some work. I don't know. He seems like a nice enough guy, but this is rough. We get a replay of the Rosemary Taya segment. Utter fucking filler. I cannot stand it. This just happened. Like, 10 minutes ago. Why would we need a fucking replay? I don't understand. So then we go backstage to Taya, where some guy behind camera yells out, where'd you get the mist? She laughs and says that she's got some secrets up her sleeve. Cool. We get a Cornette promo. He announces Taya versus Rosemary next week. Again, cool. Lots of different pre-tapes here between Taya and Rosemary in the ring, and then Taya backstage, and then Cornette. Just seemed like this all could have been one segment that we kind of stretched over a number of different segments. I don't know. Just a personal gripe. Get a Grado and Parks segment. Grado is distraught in the parking lot. Joseph Park pulls up, bumping some tunes with some quote-unquote interns, which are just some random ladies, in what appears to be just a mid to late 2000s Ford Mustang. It's sold in the segment as if it's some sweet car, but come on, guys. Let's spare no expense here, Impact. Anyway, Parks pulls up as such. Grado gets called a meal ticket by the interns, which annoys him. Very cool. The music in the background, very not cool. So, after this, another fucking BFG promo, which features BFG vets and newbies. It's a fine promo, but it's just another fucking promo. Which is just the story of this whole night, I'll tell you that. Then we get a Global Wrestling Network promo. I did download this past week because they uploaded a YouTube video implying that it would be free, not mentioning at all in the video that the free was just 30 days with not with a purchase, but with opting in to signing up for the monthly rate. So, classic Impact sort of carny bullshit. Seems like a well enough deal if you're willing to pay the $7.99 a month, which I think I will start doing upon my next paycheck. They got plenty of old Impact stuff there, and some other things to check out. There's a CM Punk match somewhere in there, because that's what they decided to use as their thumbnail on the YouTube channel. They're doing some real fucking carny old school bullshit on their YouTube channel with the GFW amped videos, pretending like they're, you know, the Bullet Club's coming to GFW, that kind of thing. It's it's some old school dumb shit. Anyway. It's fashioned as the Alternative Wrestling Network, which is just another example of how dumb, ultimately, they try to present it as, even if it is got plenty of quality content, just get past their awful marketing. So after this, we get a six-person intergender match between Sienna, Caleb Conley, and Tejano versus Ali, James Storm, and Desmond Xavier. Get it? We've got one member on each team from each different division, so that'll create a very unpredictable match, right? Got a lot of piped-in crowd noise here, folks. It's very much needed as we have a couple of people here who are completely not over, and contrasted with others who definitely are. Ali, James Storm, most notably, definitely over here. Ali is fantastic. She hugs Desmond Xavier when he comes out. Storm offers her a sip of beer, which she turns her back to the camera and takes a small swig of beer. It's awesome. I mean, Ali is just a great, just the lovable baby face. She's fantastic here. The match itself starts off with a slow, useless first minute and a half before James Storm and Conley sort of fire it up. Tejano tags back in for some cowboy-on-cowboy violence, including a leg lariat. And then he tags in Sienna, who starts fucking up James Storm because she's awesome. Not afraid to get in there with the men again. Tejano tags back in. He gets hit with a cutter by Storm, who hot tags Desmond Xavier, who runs wild on the newly tagged in Caleb Conley. Sienna ultimately breaks up a pinfall attempt. Again, Sienna breaking up the men parts of the match. Something, again, it doesn't doesn't happen in WWE doesn't make it automatically good. But again, with Sienna, she's participating in this in the men's aspect of the matches, which is, you know, it puts her over as a really good champion in the vein of China. So really appreciate that. Ali eventually comes in. All hell breaks loose. She delivers a code breaker to Tejano, a backbreaker to Tejano, then by Storm. But then it all turns into just Caleb Conley versus Xavier in the ring. Some punches, then Xavier tags in Storm. They try to double-team Conley, who escapes with some punches and is met with a 619 eventually against the ropes by Desmond Xavier. Xavier goes to the top rope, but is pushed off by Trevor Lee. Caleb Conley eventually stands up after the 619, gets hit with the last call, and Storm gets the win with some notably absent interference by Trevor Lee, who could prevent the top rope move from Xavier, but can't prevent a pinfall to end the match. So we have a prolonged standoff between Tejano and Storm, another aspect of their cowboy versus cowboy feud, which I think has been treated pretty well. But that does that. So there's the six-person intergender tag match there for you. Time for some Eli Drake in Japan. Borash throws to this segment saying that it's a title defense in Japan, which unfortunately we don't actually. There is one title defense, but it's certainly not Eli Drake's. He has a promo where he puts over the title. He asks to defend it in Cambodia, saying you could send him anywhere in the world. It's generally an awesome promo where he calls the residents of Ottawa, home of Bound for Glory, a bunch of syrup-sucking dummies. Yeah, let's just leave it there. The man can do much better. Just go watch the promo than I could ever recall. He's just a natural, of course. We go right from that into a Eddie Edwards promo packages, an Eddie Edwards promo package where he says that his finisher is a tribute to Misawa. Very solid babyface stuff. He talks about his respect for Mara Fuji. They show some clips of their match accompanied by some crazy dramatic music. It's a great package with some really cool images of the moves that constituted a large part of the match itself. There might be some sort of contractual limitations to them showing the match, which I understand, but they did a good enough job with this package itself to put over the match and put over the two competitors, especially considering the fact that Mara Fuji is a featured Impact talent. It was a great package, but again, it was just another package on this show, which we just get even more of as Garza Jr. He gets his own package in Japan. It's a very long package where he references his father, Hector Garza, a former TNA roster member, and featuring clips from his NOAH match, which he ended up winning. And that is that on the NOAH package. So, again, a perfectly fine package, but it is just that, a package. So if you were looking for a lot of wrestling, a lot of matches on this particular episode of Impact, I think that you will be left wanting, especially by this point in the episode. We move on from there to a Global Forge segment, which, knowing that I was just alone this week, I actually tried to pay close attention to, because I got to kind of fill some time here, just like, again, this is the third time I've made that mistake, just like Impact has to do. I got to fill some time here, so I got to talk about Global Forged. We're in the Can-Am Wrestling Center in Ottawa, where John Bolin, former tag team partner with Ryback and OVW, is grilling some that jabroni named MM3, saying that he's not mean enough in a segment where I am not sold that either one of them could ever convinced me that they were mean. Bolin sort of does this over-the-top, angry coach, ooh, I'm the coach that you can't break, and he's compounded by other promos from these trainees who are saying it's tough to get a compliment out of him. It's just absolutely stereotypical sort of coach testosterone filled bullshit. It's not for me. I don't know. It's just, if you enjoy this stuff, it's, hey, more power to you. Global Forge has not been for me the whole time. Though we did get to see Santino Marella last week, which was cool. After Global Forge, we get a LAX promo. It's on a Domino's table back in the classic LAX lounge. They clown on OVE, Conan telling the group that Homicide will be back for Bound for Glory. It's your typical cool LAX promo featuring their, you know, they actually get some decent music to back them on these promos, unlike seemingly everyone else. And generally, it shows off. It's a segment that always feels like it's inspired by Lucha Underground, and I don't just mean that because of the ethnicities involved. Genuinely, it just feels like a well-shot, well-lit, well-produced backstage segment, the likes of which would fall right into the style of the show of Lucha Underground, so don't get on my back over that comparison. Moose, who, again, is an idiot, returns to American Top Team. He's calling for someone to meet him there, another dork, who will meet him after dark, and eventually that dork is revealed, it's Stefan Bonner. In case you didn't recognize him, he's got a t-shirt with his name on it. In case that didn't help you and you don't know who Stefan Bonner is, let me just give you a quick recap. He was a contestant on the OG season of The Ultimate Fighter, Season 1. The finale of the show saw him face off versus Forrest Griffin in a match that was an absolute slobberknocker. It was a real classic. It's one of the best UFC fights of all time. And it even that legacy is compounded with the fact that the ratings of the match itself in real time went up for the show. They spiked their overall season ratings mid-match because of how word of mouth spread around of just how good this match was before social media erupted. That's a really impressive feat, and as a result, Stefan Bonner and Forrest Griffin both were inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame for this match. So, a UFC Hall of Famer in Stefan Bonner getting involved here in a storyline for Impact Wrestling. To anybody who really is an MMA fan, I don't think that Stefan Bonner really comes across as a huge star. And if they could, I don't even know if they legally could, but if they could position him as a UFC Hall of Famer, it really raises this guy's stock. And there's a lot of stock in Stefan Bonner, I think, to the, you know, run-of-the-mill wrestling fan who has no interest in MMA. And I think that this could be a perfectly good pairing, especially going up against the American Top Team MMA sort of in this promo battle. So this could work out well. They end up teaming up together, like I said, after dark. So they roll up with a couple baseball bats to the front door in pitch black, and the promo cuts out, and it will be resumed after the main event tonight. So for the second straight week, the closing part of Impact will be a pre-tape. Wonderful stuff. A replay of Garza versus Adonis last week leads into a main event time. It is Johnny Impact with the worst entrance ever taking on Garza Jr. Eli Drake is watching from Japan, quote unquote, on a fucking iPad. Really would love somebody to point me to the app where I can watch Impact in real time, live as it's being recorded. Would love to find that app. I don't know what Eli Drake is using to watch this. It's a fast-paced match with a fast open that culminates in a stare-down between the two, a classic sort of chain wrestling sequence. Borash mentions that Impact has three reigning world champions, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, as Johnny Impact is the reigning AAA world champion. Surely you would have thought to put this over beforehand, but it seems to me this is the first time they've acknowledged three world champions being on the show in Eli Drake, Eddie Edwards, and Johnny Mundo / Impact. So a lot of stock, again, in a lot of characters in this company that they just seem to be ignoring, and I don't know if it's due to the delay in tapings or what have you, but only just now do we acknowledge our third world champion here in this company. Tope Suicida from Garza and then throws a Johnny Impact into the steel steps. Of course, no count out here, as typical with any Impact main event these days. As Johnny Impact does some flippy shit outside the ring, no selling that shot to the steel steps. After an ad break, Garza regains control. We get lots of filler with Johnny eventually coming back as Eli continues to watch on in his exclusive iPad app. Johnny does his typical offense again versus Garza. He goes for his finisher, the Starship Pain, but he misses, eventually downing Garza with a German suplex and going again for the Starship Pain, but missing once again, as Garza then hits a backbreaker for a two count. He hits a standing moonsault for a two, and then a missile dropkick on Johnny Impact for a two, before locking in a Boston Crab. Series of reversals in that Boston Crab position leads to Johnny Impact eventually rolling up Garza Jr. for the pinfall in just over 14 minutes. Completely average match, in my opinion, with a flat finish. This was your number one contender spot going into the biggest pay-per-view of the year, and this is your just really flat match. Going in, they did their best selling the fact that this was they did their best with Garza Jr. and Johnny Impact being the number one and number two guys going into Bound for Glory, deciding who's going to be the number one contender for the championship. The fact that these are the two top contenders really sells a lot. It really says a lot about the state of the company at this point. They did their best to get Garza Jr. over. However, there's only so much you can do in a broader context, and it didn't play into what should have felt like a bigger match than it ultimately felt like. It's tough for this company to make big matches in Universal Studios, so thank God they're moving away from it, because this crowd barely alive for this match at all. But this is arguably the biggest match that this company has put on TV over the course of this entire tapings. This is the number one contenders match for the biggest show of the year, and it definitely never felt like it. It felt like a subpar Impact main event match, which really just disappointing. And we've got Johnny Impact versus Eli Drake going into Bound for Glory. Just before we get into some analysis about that, just after the match, Johnny and Garza, they shake hands and they make out some. Cornette interviews Johnny. Johnny says that he starts to talk, and then Chris Adonis just smashes a large plank of wood over his head. I couldn't tell if it was like a table or something. It just looked like a random thing of wood. So that was your main event. After that, we get the quick ATT segment with Moose and Bonner entering into the gym with baseball bats. They ask a secretary if Babo and King Mo are in attendance, which she obviously says no to because it's fucking dark outside. Nobody is in the gym except for this poor secretary. And so they take their baseball bats to some trophy cases. They steal some belts. They knock over a bunch of different things and generally destroy the ATT gym like a pair of baby faces would normally do. I know I have enjoyed parts of this feud. I know plenty of people have. In particular this week, this blow-off right here. Especially given the pedigree of UFC Hall of Famer Stephen Bonner, this felt really lackadaisical and pretty throwaway, in my opinion. Just ultimately a disappointing way to end an overall pretty lukewarm episode of Impact. This episode featured lots and lots and lots and lots of promo packages. Not a whole lot actually physically happening within the Impact Zone itself. What matches we got, none of them really lived up to be much. The main event, I guess you would say, is the best match of the night, though it wasn't much. The six-person intergender wasn't much outside of a few cool spots, and the opener was completely throwaway between Rosemary and Hannah, whatever her name is. And so you have three matches that are completely missable, a bunch of promo packages leading into Bound for Glory. This definitely felt like all these late episodes, like the episodes that are taped, some of the last tapings they have in the taping schedule. They always feel like this. It's just a bunch of promo packages, barely any wrestling, overall really lazy feel to it. They haven't escaped this formula. As a company that tapes their shows instead of performing them live, they always have these sort of lackadaisical, lackluster, latter end of the taping episodes that just feel, like I said, completely lazy and lackadaisical. This one being one of them. Lots of good perform. You get to see a lot of the talent that they have on this roster throughout the episode in these promo packages. I can point to Eli Drake, Ali, even guys like Tejano, I'm not going to include Caleb Conley there. But you've got talent all over the board in these promo packages, but they are ultimately just that. They are ultimately promo packages, and this show was just essentially a promo for Bound for Glory, which still is under a month away, but almost a month away at this point. It's still a good 3 weeks away. So that's this episode of Impact Wrestling for October 12th, 2017. I'm going to give this episode a 6, a flat 6. Just because it's a promo-heavy episode, which I don't completely mind, and the promos were generally great. However, in terms of a show that progressed from, moved one storyline along, there was hardly much of that at all in this episode, and ultimately it came off as pretty flat in the end because of that. So, really hope you enjoyed this episode of Let Me Talk to You this week. It was just me this week, Josh Perry. I am at VERLANDJ on the Twitter machine and also on the Instagram machine and the Snapchat machine if you're so inclined. But like I said, just me this week. Join hopefully myself and CEO Hayes next week for another edition of Let Me Talk to You. Check out the older episodes of my own personal podcast, Three Count Takes. It's a deeper dive into who I am as a person. It's a real personal podcast, so really hope you can find the time to check that out. But until then, like I said, this was Let Me Talk to You this week. Let me know on Twitter, Instagram, whatever social media you use to let me know how you thought about this week's episode. Tried my best this week. It was solo. Hope I made worthwhile of your 40 plus minutes. But yeah, That was Impact. This was Let Me Talk To You. Thank you for letting me talk to you, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Adios.
We finished here?